Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here. We have interviewed over 750 advisors over the last 2 years, and all of their interviews were recorded. All of them are available in our archives at exitcoachradio.com. It's called the Audio Library. Over 750 interviews, and they're all segregated in 40 different topic file folders. So I hope you'll go there and just listen. You can listen from your computer, download them to your smartphone. Take us with you, listen, and gain the wisdom of 750 advisors, authors, and thought leaders. My next guest is Wesley Wood. He's the CEO and president of Wood Financial Group and Advisors Academy. He's a board member of that group. And he is the founder, president, and CEO of Wood Financial Group. And they are a local independent financial services company located in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And Wesley and his dedicated team are passionate about guiding families and individuals in achieving their vision of financial success. And what we're going to talk about today is, a lot of people are thinking, well, I'll have to work beyond retirement. I'll just continue to work and I'll continue to find work. And we're going to talk about some of the myths and issues that you might have in finding work in retirement. So, Wesley, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Wesley, tell us a little bit about Wood Financial Group. How long ago did you get started in the business, and who are your typical clients?
Sure. So we've had our business now 10 years, just about on the nose. Our typical client is getting close to at or in retirement. I would say average age is 65 years old. And really the way I got started, I started in the financial services several years before we opened up the company. And through that process of just understanding different folks and their situation, whether they're younger or older, noticed that there's a big need to help the baby boomers for several reasons. One of the main ones is that there's so many folks that are aging and crossing that path into retirement and getting to the point where they're going to need to start using some of their income. Matter of fact, there's just tens of thousands of people every single minute hitting that baby boomer mark, hitting 65 years old. So there is a big need to fill that gap. So we started really specializing in that core group of people. And when it comes to investing, it's a lot different way to invest when you're accumulating your assets over time and then retiring or getting real close to it where you start protecting, preserving, and creating more of an income stream. So that's our core group, and we've been around for about 10 years now.
Yeah, that's great. It's a great marketplace. Again, if you're not up on the figures, you're a baby boomer if you're born between 1946 and 1964. 75 million people, and they're hitting, like Wesley said, they're hitting ages like 55 and 65 right now at the rate of about 10,000 per day. That's a huge number of people that are celebrating birthdays and wondering about their future. And so the problem is, I got hit by the lost decade in the stock market, and my 401k didn't grow for 10 whole years, and it kind of grew a little while, but I don't know if it's going to grow anymore. It's starting to give back a little bit. So what am I going to do? Do I have enough income to retire on successfully? So what are some of the statistics that I've seen some amazing statistics from you, Wesley. What are some of the statistics you've dug up on that particular issue?
Well, it's amazing to me that a lot of people that are entering into that retirement age, and think about retirement age, 65 years old, let's just kind of use that as the core number, but most people only have about $100,000 saved up for retirement, which is just, for many folks, is just not gonna cut it. So what's happening is we're seeing many folks continuing to work, not necessarily at the same maybe company where they are, or the same career, but they are having to pick up extra work just to supplement their income. Because if you think about it, mostly income comes from Social Security. If you have a pension, maybe there's a pension there. Perhaps you've got some other rental property or some other assets that can generate some income. But then you have your investments. So in most cases, Social Security and pension is just not going to cut it. So extra income has to come in. So we're seeing about nearly half of retirees would like to work, but most of them cannot. And 72% of retired baby boomers currently aren't working to pay for retirement, but half of those folks would like to be working.
Now, you say they cannot work. Is that because they're overqualified, or they just don't have other skills, or there's just not jobs available in the marketplace?
There's a big mix. A lot of folks say their health just will not allow them to work anymore. 10% or so are unable to even find a job. A lot of folks have to care for a loved one. So there's a big mix there. As far as being overqualified, what I'm seeing is that sometimes that is an issue, but more or less when somebody gets a second job or a second career, if you will, in retirement, it can be a big drop-off from maybe what they were doing beforehand. Even if it's, I have some of my favorite clients work at a golf course, for instance, a few days a week just to pay some extra bills, or we'll give some time at some charitable foundations and sometimes get some income from there. So in most cases, the folks that are working in retirement are actually happier than when they were working in their full career, because they're kind of doing something more along the lines of what they love. They may not be making as much money, but it is at least generating a little bit of income, and they're more passionate about what they're doing.
Yeah, that's notable that AARP, which of course is a huge 35 million plus membership organization for retired people over age 50,
yep.
Which I never quite understood why it's so low, but they have a huge objective or initiative going on called Life Reimagined to help people try to figure out what else they might want to do in their lives. But the problem is, like you said, a lot of times the jobs are being done, those jobs are being done by younger people entering the workforce now that, you know, there's only so many starters at golf courses. There's only so many greeters at Walmart. You know, there's only so many of these jobs to go around. Are there emerging areas that you know of that people have you heard of that people are finding other types of work? Does technology come to the rescue at all?
There are some. I mean, there are some service careers where, like, there's some call centers that where folks are helping. I know that, you know, we have quite a few of those here in the Nashville area, but we see some retirees going down and just helping in areas where they're just taking phone calls or more administrative. There's a lot of small businesses that are popping up, and we'll see folks work part-time maybe just as a secretary or a help desk or a welcome center. So we're seeing more in the small business area, little jobs kind of popping up here and there. But what we always advise, if there's a client that's looking at retiring and they have a full-time career, it's good to shop around and find out what's out there if they think they're going to have to work. And, you know, places like Monster.com or Career Builder or even Craigslist, for instance, there may be some good opportunities there where you can kind of feel out your own marketplace.
Yeah, and I'm hearing from some organizations that someone who's on Medicare can be a very desirable employee because they won't have to pay for their health insurance necessarily in that kind of a situation. So there are some opportunities out there, and there are some technology websites that are coming up that allow you to use your brain power. And we didn't really want to talk about that for the whole interview, but thank you very much for the insights. What can people do to help prepare earlier for retirement so they don't have that dilemma, that $100,000 401k account, and where should it be?
Yeah, so one of the things we always talk to people about that are younger, that are still working, or even 10, 12, 15 years from retirement, is you got to figure out how much money you need to have in your nest egg. ING, which is now Voya, used to have, I think, one of the best commercials that kind of summed it up. It's called, and it was, "What's Your Number?" And
many of your
listeners may remember that, but it was people walking around with this big orange number. Sometimes it'd be millions of dollars, sometimes it'd be hundreds of thousands of dollars. But what that's signifying is that's the amount of money you need to have sitting in an account somewhere, whether it's retirement accounts, non-qualified accounts, or general net worth to generate an income stream. And there's an old 4% rule of financial planning, which many people can argue whether or not that works or not. But basically, if you take your nest egg and generate 4% of interest per year, you can pretty much live on that for a lifetime. So if somebody has $1 million of assets, they could probably get about $40,000 a year off of that asset without having to worry about running out of retirement. Or retirement income. Now, there are other ways to generate more income, but if we just start there, that's a good planning base. So first thing is we want to figure out what's your number. and then start backing into what's the best way to save up to get to that number. And you know, if you are working, and I know you've got a lot of folks that that you're talking to that have businesses and own businesses, if there's 401ks available, profit sharing and matching, there's great places where you can save in taxes now, defer that for in the future, and then pull it out once you do retire.
That's a great point. And, you know, a lot of our listeners are small business owners, and they might even be self-employed, you know, and they're thinking, okay, well, someday I'll sell my business. But the problem that we're talking about is that, of course, we'd love for them to sell their business and reinvest the proceeds into something that will create income. But here's the problem today is that a lot of people won't be able to sell their business, and so they need to start pre-funding their retirement. And what are the best types of accounts that are available for people that have a very small business or self-employed?
Yeah, I mean, it ranges, but you know, we have, I would say, a small business at our firm. I mean, we employ full-time six people, and then during tax season we get up to 10, 11 folks. But we started a 401k. I mean, it's very simple to set one up. There is some cost associated with getting it going, but you're not looking at tens of thousands of dollars. But that would allow somebody that to put in roughly $18,000 a year, not including matching, pre-tax. If you're a smaller business that maybe a 401k, you're not looking to offer that to employees, an IRA may be a good spot, or a Roth IRA, depending on your tax situation. But that allows you to put money in, maybe get a tax break in the tax year that you're in, if you put it into an IRA, or you can put money into a Roth IRA where you won't get the tax break now, but it is a retirement vehicle to where when you hopefully make a bunch of interest on that money, you can pull it out and you won't have to pay any taxes in the future.
Great advice. So there are a wide variety of different types of accounts. Even if you're a micro, even if you're self-employed, you can put aside money, fund your own retirement, take care of yourself, push some money ahead to that older person you will someday be, and help yourself. Now, let me ask you a question, because a lot of people are saying, okay, and I'm sure you're seeing this, I've been saving money diligently. I've built it up. I've got a pretty good amount. Now I'm turning 65. Like you said, your average client's 65. So now I got to go meet with Wesley and say, Wesley, how should my allocations change now that I'm 65?
Most of the time, and it's a case-by-case basis, but I would say most of the time you got to take risk off the table. It comes down to you want to protect what you have. So let's just say you've hit that number, or you're close to that number, or you're over that number that we were shooting for. The last thing we want to do is put it into a spot to where it could potentially get cut in half. The stock market is just the first place that most people think about, which is true. I mean, right now the market from the bottom of 2009 is up over 200%. We've seen roughly a 10 to 15 point swing depending on which index you're looking at. But if somebody loses 50% on their money, they have to make 100% on that money just to get back to where they were. So unfortunately, what a lot of people did with just poor planning back in 2006, 2007, they were maybe looking at retiring in 2009 or 10. They were getting close to where they needed to be financially and having a nice nest egg, but they had too much money in the stock market, and then they lost half of it. And if they didn't get, which a lot of people did, if they didn't get scared and sell everything at the bottom, even if they were strong enough to ride it out, they had to wait roughly 6 years, which could have delayed retirement several years or perhaps put it off completely.
Yeah, that's happened for a lot of people. And now here's the other dilemma, is partially because the feds have kept interest rates so low for so long to try to stimulate the economy and get it going. There aren't that many great alternatives. When you look at, say, your 401k statement, you see a lot of supposedly high-yielding, unless you look in the last 3 months, high-yielding stocks and zero, or close to zero-yielding bonds and money market accounts. What's some good advice for someone that's looking at those options? Because I think a lot of people have been pushed up into the upper branches of the tree where, you know, if you picture a tree, when the wind's blowing, it gets pretty rocky up there. They've been pushed up into those stocks looking for yield because they don't see anything at the lower end.
Yep.
What do they do?
Yeah. Well, if it's a 401k or a retirement program through an employer, which may not be for a small business person, but just the general public has some type of 401k program. The biggest problem that we see is that they are not well built for folks that are entering retirement or that are retired. As a matter of fact, in some cases, they're some of the worst places to be because they really only give you three choices. They let you go into stock funds, they let you go into bond funds, and then there's a cash position that literally pays zero. Well, the problem is that the stock positions are aggressive. The bond positions used to be kind of the world where you could get more of a conservative rate of return, but those are very interest rate sensitive. So you brought up low interest rates. The problem with bonds is that when interest rates are going down, bonds are going up in value. So over the last, literally, since 1980, when interest rates were 16-17%, we've seen rates just continue to fall for the last 35 years or so, and now we've literally hit a rock bottom. So there's only one way the interest rates can go, and it most people would say they got to go up. So when those interest rates start climbing, that used to be a safer spot for a 401k, being those bond funds, they're probably going to get hammered. So there may not be a good safe avenue within that 401k program unless you just stick in the cash position, but we all know that's not making anything. So what most people do, a lot of the savvier investors, what they'll do is take their 401k, and you can roll it into a self-directed IRA, whether it's with a financial planner or if you're managing it yourself. But then it opens up just about every single investment option out there in the universe, and you can kind of get more into that income-generating investments that are probably more suitable for a client.
Yeah, and I've heard that a lot of people don't know this, but even if you're of a certain age, say over 59 and a half, and you're still working and you're nervous about your 401k, you want to get better options, a lot of times they can do what's called an in-service withdrawal and roll it over while they're still working, right?
Oh, yeah, and sometimes there's a 59 and a half rule, there's a 55 rule, and I've seen a lot of 401ks these days. The employers have been nice enough to let you do an in-service distribution anytime. So any opportunity you can do that in-service distribution, if you want to pretty much own the same funds that you have in that 401k now, you can get them in an IRA. So it doesn't hurt to go ahead and roll that money over to an IRA, even if you kind of want similar investments. But then it opens you up to every single investment out there other than just the ones that you're captive to within that 401k. So you definitely want to look into that.
Yeah, and Wesley, that doesn't mean they have to stop participating in the 401k. They're just kind of emptying the bucket and then continuing to save in the 401k if they want to work, right? It's just a way to diversify what you've already built up outside of the 401k in an IRA account, and you're not taxed on it, and then start building up your 401k again.
Yeah, so if you're still contributing to your 401k, you can literally roll out in this in-service distribution. You may be able to roll out the full amount, which puts your 401k balance at zero, but then you've got an IRA with all this money that was in the 401k. You can continue contributing to your 401k just like you're doing now, get the matching and everything, all the benefits of that 401k, but without the problems of the 401k. So everything can continue as it is.
And that can be a great option if you're getting up there in age, if you're over 59 and a half, you got to check with your employer, but certainly something to think about is maybe you can preserve what you've built up and take the worry off the table, put it into something that'll give you some kind of a yield into retirement. Wesley, great information. You've really helped our listeners a lot. What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, thanks for that. We're located around the Nashville area, Nashville, Tennessee, just north. But you can check our website out. It's woodfinancialgroup.net. There's a lot of great information on there. We have plenty of videos that you can go through and kind of learn a lot more about what we talked about today, learn about us as a company. So look us up on woodfinancialgroup.net.
And I really appreciate the fact that you came in with so many helpful ideas about what to do. But before that, talking about the problem that a lot of people think, reach retirement age, and then I'll just work part-time somewhere, and they really need to research and look into that, and you had a lot of great information there for us, too. So thanks so much for coming onto the show, and I appreciate it, and look forward to the next time we talk.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this, so please stay tuned.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. This is Spike Reel with the Exit Coach. Business owners, can you name the 8 key value drivers that you and your managers should be focusing on to increase the value of your business? Introducing the Sellability Score Index. Visit our website and answer 25 questions about your business, and you will instantly receive your sellability score, showing you how well you stack up in the 8 value driver areas. It's a great management tool. It's absolutely free for our listeners. Just visit exitcoachradio.com and click Get My Sellability Score.
Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.